Pleasure that I join in welcoming you all here this evening as we gather together to once again worship God. I'm thankful to Brother John for stepping aside from the pulpit this evening and giving me the opportunity to preach. Nicholas read just a few moments ago from the book of Acts in chapter 26 in the account of Paul's answer to King Agrippa and to Festus, in which he was able to answer the charges that the Jews had against him. And he was able to recount his conversion on the road to Damascus. He reminded him of his life beforehand. He said in verse 5, "After the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." He said in verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I did also in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them unto even the strange cities." We realize that he lived his life as a great sinner. But then he recounts his conversion on the road to Damascus when the voice from heaven came unto him in Hebrew tongue. In verse 14, and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he goes on to recount his conversion. He tells King Agrippa in verse 19, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Having therefore obtained the help of God," verse 22, "I continue unto this day." He goes on to tell that Christ rose from the dead. He said in verse 23 that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Festus called him mad. He said, "Much learning has made thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and of soberness." And the brother read for us early King Agrippa's answer when he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul's response, Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." I want to talk this morning about why it is that I am a Christian. Why it is that I was altogether persuaded to be as Paul. Why it is that I decided, as we just sang, to enlist in the Lord's army, in the Christian army. I hope that through this lesson that I can encourage those who have already become Christians, that I can encourage you to consider why it is that you became a Christian and that may strengthen you. Or those of you that have not yet put on Christ in baptism and become a Christian, that I may say something that would encourage you to become a Christian. I want to start with a couple of reasons that I did not become a Christian, a couple of reasons that did not influence me to become a Christian and to follow Christ. It was not because of tradition. We see that in many world religions today, we see the Jews that you are born a Jew, that with the Muslims, with the faith of Islam, that they do many things out of tradition, that with the Catholic Church, that they put tradition above the words of God. So I did not become a Christian because of tradition. I did not become a Christian because my parents are Christians. Though I'm thankful to my parents who taught me the truth and were great examples unto me, that as we read in Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, that they trained up the children in the way that they should go. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, that they bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I'm thankful as Timothy for the great example of my family, of my parents, that we read of Timothy, of the great faith of his grandmother and of his mother. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the genuine faith, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We realize that we are to have a genuine faith, that we cannot have the faith of our parents. But I did not become a Christian to please my parents. Sadly, in talking to many young Christians today, their reasoning for becoming a Christian, their reasoning to be baptized, was to please their parents or to please their congregation. We realize that that is not a sufficient reason, that that is not a good reason to become a Christian. But also, I did not become a Christian to gain worldly status or popularity. We realize once again that in many world religions, that they're often based on status, that many religions, people join them to boost their status. They join them for popularity. But we realize that God's people have never been among the many. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7, we read that the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. We see this same thing in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, we read that many there are that go by the way that leads to death, but few there are that find the narrow way. Jesus speaking says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We realize that God's people have always been among the few, that they have never been the majority. And we also see many people, many of the most faithful servants of God, that gave up worldly status to be followers of Christ. I'm mindful of Moses, who we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 of his great faith, that he determined not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That he gave up the status that he could have had, he gave up the title that he could have had on this earth, to follow after God. And I'm mindful of Paul, who was a Pharisee, who was the highest that you could be in the Jewish religion, but he gave that up to follow after Christ. So I did not become a Christian to gain any worldly status, or because of popularity. So why then was it that I became a Christian? What was it that made me determined to follow Christ? What was it that made me to turn from my life of sin and turn to God? It's because I realized the heavy burden of sin. I realized that I became burdened by the heavy load of sin. As the Proverbs writer penned in Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 22, that he was holden or shackled by the cords of sin. That I realized that the sin in my life was a shackle, that I was holden by the cords of sin. As we read in the book of Romans, in Romans 6 and verse 6 and again in verse 16, we see that we were slaves of sin. He says in verse 16 that your servant to whom you obey, of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I realized that because of sin that I was a slave, that I was a slave to the sin in my life, that I was a servant to sin. And again in the book of Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans 6 and verse 12, I realized that I was allowing sin to reign in my mortal body. That it was sin that was controlling my life, that it was sin that was determining the course that my life would take. We realize that this is the condition of all men. For as we read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we all allow sin to reign in our mortal body, that we are all shackled by the heavy weight of sin. We realize furthermore that the wages of sin are death. For as we read in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I realize this heavy, crushing weight of sin. That as Peter told Simon in Acts in chapter 8, in Acts chapter 8, this was after Simon had become a Christian but had become entangled again in sin. He told him that his condition in chapter 8 and verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. I realized that this was the condition that I was in with sin in my life. And as Paul penned in Romans chapter 7, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, I came to the same realization that he did. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Realize the heavy burden of sin, But I realized furthermore that I could not find release from this burden in this world, that I could not find the release of that burden in anything on this earth. Realize that some seek relief in their career. They think that if they can advance to a certain place in their career, that they'll find bliss, that they'll find happiness, that they'll find the relief from their burdens. But we realize that this will never suffice, that you'll never reach high enough, you'll never reach the point that you're going for, that there will always be someone above you. Some seek relief in recreation and sports. We realize that once again, this will not suffice. And sadly, some seek relief in addictions. They seek relief from this burden at the bottom of a bottle, or in addictions to various drugs. We realize that we will never find satisfaction in this world. We realize that from the wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes, that sought out all the things in this world and realized that it was vain, that it was vanity. So I became a Christian because Jesus offers to release us from this burden of sin. We read in Matthew chapter 11, when we see the great invitation of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Jesus is speaking and giving his great invitation here. And in verse 28 he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor or toil and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Realize that we are laboring on this earth, that we toil on this earth, that we have heavy laden or we have burdens. Realize that sin is wearisome. But Jesus promises that great rest. He says to take His yoke upon us, and His yoke is easy and His burden is light, that He will lift the burden of sin. Christ was often criticized for this. We see many times in Christ's life on this earth that He was criticized for receiving sinners, that He was criticized for spending time with sinners, for receiving sinners, and for eating with them. See in Luke chapter 15, when at one such time when the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." We see Jesus giving three parables here that many of us are so familiar with. Verses 4 through 7, He gives the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to seek out the one which was lost. And in verse 7 he says, "I say unto you that likewise joy will be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And again in verses 8 through 10 he offers the parable of the lost coin, where the woman has lost a coin of great value and searches her house for it. And when she finds it, she invites her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the peace which I had lost." And he says again in verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Perhaps the one that we can relate the most to is the parable of the lost son in Luke 15, 11 through 32. We will realize that there was this son who desired to have his birthright, his inheritance now. In verse 13, "Not many days after, he gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." We realize that he lived a life of wastefulness. He wasted his substance and he lived in riotous living. He realized that there was a famine in the land and he began to be in want. He got so low that he would have filled his belly with the food that the swine did eat. But in verse 17 it says he came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants does my father have that have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father," and notice what he's going to say to him, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Realize that when he goes home, that the father with outstretched hands greets him. It says, "When his father saw him, he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son tells him, 'I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, not worthy to be called thy son.' For the great reaction of the father, he provides him with the best robe. He puts a ring upon his finger. He puts shoes on his feet. He kills the fatted calf. And he says, 'Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." And again in verse 32, "And talking to the older son, he said, 'It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found.'" We realize that this is the same Father that we serve today. Realizing that we are dead. Realizing that we are lost. That through Him we can be alive and we can be found. And great rejoicing will be had by the Father in heaven. For we realize that He is a God of great love. And that He's expressed His love toward us in so many ways. As we read in John chapter 3 and verse 16. That because of the great love that God had, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Realize the great love of the Father. Again in the book of Romans chapter 5. Book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8. We see once again the great love of God. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We realize that our condition of sin, that we are worthy of hell, that we are worthy of death. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. But God gives us a home in heaven if we're obedient unto Him. If we follow after Him and remain faithful until death, we will receive that crown. We realize the great grace and the mercy of God. That we go from being deserving of hell, of being deserving of death, to being able to achieve heaven, to being able to spend an eternity in heaven with God. When God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things have passed away. Revelation 21. And verse 4. That we can share in the same joy as Paul did, as we read in the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, we see the great joy that Paul had and that he was able to be forgiven of his sins. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We realize that He had great joy. That He was a pattern unto them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. That we too can go from being a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. That we can go from the wretched man that we are, by the grace of God, to being able to obtain mercy. Being able to enter in to everlasting life. We can obtain the same grace and the same mercy today. By devoting our lives to Christ, to determining this day to pick up our cross and follow after Him daily. That we can become a Christian the same way today that they've been becoming Christian since the first century. That if you would believe the Word and have faith in it, as we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That if we'll realize our condition of sin and we'll repent of that, that's turned from. That we'll make the change in our life, realizing that we're walking farther and farther and farther away from God. To transform our lives to going closer and closer to Christ. That we can repent of our sins. That if we will confess Christ Jesus, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, being baptized for the remission of our sins, we realize once again with the eunuch that he and Peter went both down into the water, Philip rather, and he came up out of the water. We realize that he received the remission of his sins through the blood of Christ. That the love of God, sending His only begotten Son, that He came down to this earth, that He shed His life, that we may be forgiven of our sins, and that we may become Christians. We realize upon that that we must remain faithful until death. That we must remain faithful Christians until the day that we die. In order to obtain that crown, as we read in Revelation chapter 2. and in verse 10. We're about to sing the invitation song number 687, Only a Step. We see that great invitation of Jesus Christ. As we read the words of the song, hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Indeed, what a terrible thought it is to cry too late. It'd be a terrible thought for someone today to need to put on Christ in baptism and to leave this place without making their soul right with God. To leave this place this evening without determining to follow after Christ and putting him on in baptism. Or to a Christian that's erred away. To a Christian that, as Simon, has allowed sin to enter their life, to leave this place without seeking the forgiveness of God. We realize that a great blessing of those who are God's people, a great blessing of those who are Christians, is that we're able to pray to God for the remission of our sins, that we're able to pray to God and have our sins forgiven, that we're able to confess our faults to one another, that we may pray for one another, that we can have the same heart as Simon today, who desired that the brethren would pray for him, that the things which he spake would not come upon them, that he would be justified in the eyes of God. So we implore you this evening that if you have need to put on Christ in baptism, or if you have need to put make correction in your life, that you would come to the front as we sing, stand and as we sing.